We have a guest today. We have Kirsten Hatcher. And we have actually, you are a listener to our podcast.
Yes.
So you and I have gone back and forth. We don't know each other very well, which is amazing, because that just tends to be how we do things around here.
Yes.
But our kids are in the same class this year.
They are.
I didn't even know that.
Yes. So our paths crossed this January.
Yes. Yeah. Well, really, do you know the first time our paths crossed, they were like two.
Oh, yes.
At a party. Yes. I've been trying to recreate your hairstyle that you had that day. I feel like I've said this to you. I'm like, I feel obsessive. I'm like, oh my God, I've been trying to recreate this hairstyle.
So sometimes I do this braid that I like poof up across the top that looks like a mohawk.
I can't do it.
I like love it. So yes, we did actually. And I haven't seen or heard from that person in a long time, but yes, our paths did cross like back in the day and then they recrossed in January. You have a podcast.
Yes.
It's called Raising Marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. Yes. And it's so much fun. And we kind of have the same format that you guys have where it's more trying to have just chit chat conversation and just see, I'm a little bit more directed just from getting the sense of listening to you guys. And you're like, look, we're not scripting anything. Show up and let's chat. I have to put a little bit of guidance because I'm trying to give marriage tips, but sometimes there's like rogue stuff that happens because it's my husband.
I love rogue. Well, that's what I was going to say. So it's a marriage. It's about marriage and like couples and healthy relationships, but then also it's raising marriage because it's the ability to like raise your kids while protecting that other piece also, which I think is amazing.
Yes. I realized that the conversations I was having with my husband on the couch crying with young kids was no different than the conversations I was having in the counseling room with couples I was working with. And I'm like, oh, we need help with this. Like, people give us very basic marriage advice. They give us very basic parenting advice, but nobody ever tells us how to let those two worlds live together. So I was like, we're just going to come in and we're going to share some of the nitty gritty and where we feel like we failed and we're disconnected and how we get back on path. Cause I'm not always good at doing what I tell people to do.
But do you give marriage advice? Like I have a strict no marriage advice policy.
So when I say bad marriage advice, I mean, don't go to bed angry is the only one you get.
I don't ask for marriage advice.
Don't give it to me. Well, people ask me though, but I am a marriage counselor. So I think that just kind of comes with the territory, but
That though? Cause I feel like if I ran into you and you were like, oh, I'm a marriage counselor. And they were like, oh, I have this very specific situation and I want you to side with me. Cause that's a lot of times what people are really saying. It's like being out to lunch with a dietitian. And you're like, I should really get the salad because this girl is here.
I think what happens is people won't randomly ask me like very direct questions. I usually get the one off, oh, I could use you. And I'm like, well, that just sounds snarky to your partner in some way, right? Like it's usually like friends will get, you know, usually over a glass of wine or a cup of coffee and they'll ask. But what I tend to do is I'm the other perspective giver. So I'm like, I can side with you all that you want, but that's not going to help you. And a lot of my friends, I think, know that, or people that talk to me about it. So it doesn't happen as much, but I just tell them to go listen to the podcast.
But when you're in those conversations, is it really hard for you not to like, is it hard for you not to give a little bit of like direction, or is it just almost like research? Because we're like people, and I love human behavior. And I do believe this idea that, and we shared it in the last episode, but this idea that 10 people can have the exact same experience. You can put them in a room, give them the exact same experience. And I believe in my heart that they will have an actual 10 different experiences. I just don't think it's fair to be so general.
I agree. It depends how close I am with somebody. Okay. So like a college girlfriend years ago was really going through a lot with her husband. And I kind of said like, this is who he's been forever and always. And yes, he should grow and evolve, but is he, and you're just missing it. And then I got very direct with her. Like, you either go to counseling and make this work, or your kids are still young. And maybe if you just don't ever see a future, you have to get that ball rolling now. That was like the most direct I ever went quickly.
Because I feel like it's so like the I was born and raised in South Carolina, and Becca and I have talked about this on some previous episodes, but you know, that's definitely not the mentality. It's more like, oh, you know, stay together for the kids. Yep. The kids need to be together. And yes, I don't feel that way. I come from parents who have been married multiple times, but are currently extremely happy.
They found their person.
But yeah, like I don't understand that piece of advice. Stay together for the kids. I'm like, kids would rather see you happy than miserable.
Right. Try for the kids. And then if you keep hitting the same roadblock over and over, maybe you try another counselor, you try other avenues. But if I was listening to something popped up in my feed and it was like, yes, ideally, kids in a home with both parents intact is the prime thing that we all want. But if that can't happen and you are just miserably unhappy, studies show that that is not beneficial, that that can cause more harm. And so then it's how do you manage that co-parenting role? And I, as a marriage counselor, I can't think of a time that I've ever told a couple that they should get divorced because of what you just said, Rebecca. 10 people could be living one thing, or you could see 10 different therapists and one therapist might be able to get you through whatever I can't get you through in that moment. And who am I, just this therapist in my office, to tell you, yeah, I think you should get divorced. Mm-hmm. So that's not ever anything that I will say to clients. I will ask, why are you still married? Why are you still coming here? Why are you doing this? Because then that you hopefully find the investment that you can build from. But it is very rare that I scream divorce to people because it's such a personal, life-impacting decision. So,
yeah. I feel like that's not even really the point of therapy. So last year, and this is more January to June, I had a therapist that I saw every week for like
you said she years. Moved. I almost messaged you and said, who is she? I want to go see her because she sounds amazing.
Young, she moved to Chicago. And so she's not licensed in the state. So obviously, but eventually I think she will be back. Just she was young. Yeah. So it was like a relocation for a role and whatever. But we spent so much time really focusing on like values and beliefs. Like she helped me kind of recenter myself. And that's how I got like full circle, zoomed out, then zoomed back into like the decision that I needed to make. But it was very much
not a light decision. Yeah. It's not a light decision. You can't, it's not like, I'm just going to do this willy nilly. Right. Yeah.
I know.
So to have that support with her is amazing.
Well, and like when you were talking about your friend, I had like a moment too where I was like, my guess is, and I don't know, but in that situation there was probably things that she couldn't see that were harming her, whether it's like mentally or whatever. And so there were moments for sure where people opened my eyes to different things that I just really couldn't like zoom out and see. But I never had anyone in my circle ever being, everyone actually was shook when I got divorced. The more I thought about it, the more closed off I became to like even sharing it with anybody, which I don't know if that's normal or if that's just.
I think it can be, right? You kind of have your, I joke, like, you know, we've gone through some things in our family and you have your kind of elevator pitch that you give to people like, hey, we're going through some stuff. And like, we know we're going through some stuff and we're working on that stuff. So I always say like, call a spade a spade. Cause if people are probably not thinking about it. But if I'm worried that you're thinking about it, I'm just going to put it out there. We're all aware this is happening. Here's my elevator pitch, but you don't get anything else unless if we're close friends.
Well, and it was like, I would whisper it a little bit here and there, but like, I mean, to my sister-in-law, that was the therapist, is actually one of the people I know. And I wasn't asking her for advice. I knew she was a really good secret keeper. So I could tell her something that was on my mind and she wouldn't even tell my brother. It would just go into the vault where all the other things that happen in her therapy room go.
Yeah.
But because I have this other very social life on social media, I don't know what but everyone was like, wait, what?
What's going on?
I what did
you do?
Yeah, I did.
You just from watching social media?
Suspected. Yes, I suspected. We actually talked about that one in a previous episode, but
we talked about it in the last one.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm the same.
I could be perceptive on. So, and I don't know, like, is that just a skill we have, or is that just what we all do on social media?
But I'm super sleuth.
But I didn't share him much on social media before. And I can promise you, well, I guess I shouldn't promise, but it's very unlikely that whatever happens next, you will see on social. You might see, I might allude to it. Like, you might see two drinks and I might not have the person tagged, which I would if I was with you guys. But,
and then we're all going to be like, oh my God, we're so excited for you.
Jenny's always like, where are you? And I like share my location.
Yeah, true story.
But that's probably smart.
Unlikely that I will let them into essentially like my personal brand, because now I'm really, really funny about it.
Yeah. Sometimes I message you and I'm like, okay, back off. You're coming on a little too strong. You don't have to message her every time you laugh.
I love that you do that. Wait, never do that. Never back off.
Okay. So we all can just keep messaging you. You hear that, listeners? Yeah. We're all.
You know, I love it. I don't know. I mean, you give me a lot of insight and you build me up. When I hear from you, I'm like, okay, I get this validation that, I mean, I'm by myself.
Yeah. Well, you're doing that to a lot of us. Like, you causing me to chuckle most days. And I love your, I think, can I say one thing that I think is a positive that comes with a divorce?
Yeah.
That you can pick whatever damn wallpaper you want.
Amen.
That's like the best thing.
I'm like so happy right now because, you know, I bought more.
I did. I saw
it's
that.
A gateway,
I was like, that's so cute. I had to pick I finally talked John into wallpaper, and I wanted like the fun, loud, but it was for a small bathroom that he said it was okay to, not okay. I don't need his permission, but he's my partner. We have to like come together with things. So I had to find something that was like fun, but symmetrical on the eye and like a nice, even pattern, which is still fun. I love it. It's like all these dogs with sunglasses on and they're adorable. But
yeah.
Dude, that does
sound fun. So Jenny, you're the same. You see her wallpaper and it's like, oh man, that's so much fun.
No, but I do love having her like, so I feel like I lived alone. I got married later in life. Mm-hmm. I was 32. So I lived alone for a really long time and, you know, sowed my wild oats and did all that. But so I had that time to kind of be alone and have my own space. So when I got married, my husband is 4.5 years older than me. So we kind of had that too. So that was probably like the most difficult for us, was like getting used to living with somebody. But now that Rebecca has her place, like I can go hide there. So that's really fun.
It's like a girl zone for everybody.
No, it really is. It's like the clubhouse. There's always champagne in the fridge. And like yesterday, Jenny randomly pulled up. She gave me like 5 minutes notice. She was like, dude, I'm coming over. I'm like, come over. I should probably give you a key.
Yeah.
You went into town. You're going to go into town 2 days in a row.
I go in town multiple times a day. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. That's impressive.
For school. And
oh, for school. Yes. Okay. That'll get you.
And then I'm like, if she can't make it home for something we're doing, I'm closer. So she's like, let's just clubhouse.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love that you call it the clubhouse. That's so much fun.
Reference it.
Yeah. So I love that for her, that she is finally able, because Becca, you got married, like how old were you?
I've been married for 14 years. So I would have been 27.
Okay. So we got married. So did you get married in 2010?
Yeah.
Yeah, same with me and John. So we're going to be 14 years. Isn't that funny? Because I'm a northerner too. I'm from Connecticut, New Hampshire, moved to South Georgia. So I like grew up my adult life in the South. But isn't that funny? Like I joked that when I moved to the South in 2006, so I was probably 24, I went up north to a friend's wedding and it was like so weird that she was getting married. And then down South, it was so weird that I was single. So how funny that the two northern girls got married
young.
Young life.
I was a leper. Like, I don't think you understand. Like, I was, no, and I'm not exaggerating. Y'all, I have been to 30-something weddings.
Oh, gosh.
I truly was the girl from 27 dresses. I was the
you are like a true Southern
married.
Girl.
Like, I think everybody had written it off. Like, it's not happening. Just, it's not for her. I had come to terms with it. Like, I was good. And then, I met Nate.
So when you found Nate. Yeah, that is too funny.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Obviously, I'm divorced and I've been reading some statistics lately, but I'm curious about this because I don't know I mean, obviously you're not a divorce counselor, you're a marriage counselor, but yes. Like, what are some of the things that you're seeing as like common themes right now?
Like with conflicts or just themes in general?
Well, like, so for me, one of the validating things that I read was that a lot of divorce right now is actually driven by the wife.
Yes, I saw you're the one that shared that. Yes, that was very, that was very validating for me to see, because I will say there is a common, thing in the room where both partners usually agree they're unhappy, that they're not happy, but it does seem to me that the wives are coming in, and I believe rightfully so, which sounds terrible, but with more complaints or grievances, where like, I'm exhausted. We are still this 1950s housewife. Let's do Pinterest. Let's do, what's all these other trends now? Like these farmsteading families. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is wild.
What the hell is that?
Well, I don't even know.
Sourdough and like getting chickens and growing your own plants. Like,
I don't. The idea of chickens is great to me, but that's as far as it's going.
As a concept.
Yeah.
As a actually owning them.
Yes. And so I do find that it is more common for the women to come in with the complaints. I think there is a level, though. One of the bigger things that I find working with couples in rooms is helping both parties figure out what the heck their needs are. Outside of sex for men and, you know, someone to help with the dishes for women, right? Like, what else is it outside of that? And so that is a really big trend, is like, what do you need in a relationship? Specifically, women, we're taught, figure out what your neighbor needs, figure out what your friends need, figure out what your family needs, and like do for them. But don't maybe put your own personal needs out there, because then you just seem too needy. It's like, so then how are we supposed to say, hey, I need some alone time, or I want to just, you know, cuddle and watch a movie with you and then go to sleep, or, you know, what are our needs in a relationship? And it's the patterns are usually similar to what they are, right? Like friendship, loyalty, trust, all these things. But what that means to each person can look so different. And so that is a little bit more of what I find with people, is like, what the heck do you even need? Because you're coming in frustrated and you don't even know.
That's so interesting to me, because like, I don't even know if I could articulate what mine are.
Same. And I help people do it all the time.
It's like, just like you said, I mean, I'm so concerned about just the day to day and all of the things that we just have to do. Like, and we talked about this a few previous episodes ago about like being, I think it was with Christina, about being in your feelings. And like, I don't do that ever. No, I don't think I have a clue, but I will say I do know that one of mine is alone time. We traveled last week.
We used to not be that way.
I was with my husband and my husband's family and my daughter 24 hours a day. I loved every minute of it. But when I got home, I was like, I need to be alone. Like, I just need to be alone. I don't want to talk. I don't want to cook. I don't want to do anything. Wait, but Kirsten, I was like, and we were texting the same thing. Like, I was like, let's go out. I said, let's get together. Let's do something. You want to cook? She was like, no, I do not want to cook.
You're coming over.
That's a trend change from pre-COVID. Is that what you just said? That it used to not be that we needed so much alone time, because.
No, I was saying pre-kids. I used to think I like needed people around me all the time. And then I get the house to myself and I'm like, oh, this is amazing.
It's like vacation. I love alone time. I've always been like that. Like, I love going to lunch by myself, even pre-marriage, pre-kid. Like, I love going to the movies by myself. Like, Friday nights, I used to stay home. All my girlfriends would go out. I'm like, y'all, I just need a minute. Like, too much. It's just too much.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just figuring out what we need. I think a lot of stuff has changed pre-COVID. I think.
I was going to say, I can easily articulate my needs at this point. Yes. I couldn't articulate my type, but because of the work that I did with Izzy, I can easily tell you like very clearly. And I was, you know, and I don't want to go down the divorce rabbit hole too far, but I was very clear in my marriage also. I'm self-aware enough to say I was very clear and not assertive about what my needs were. I just, it was very simple for me to say, I need you to take 5 minutes this week to have a conversation with me that's just one-on-one that's important. or yep. I would like you to show me in a small way that you're thinking of me, like in this, and I would put a time frame around it in this mm-hmm. week, and I would say exactly what the need was, and I can still do that really well.
That's all. Well, and the thing I was actually going to say to Jenny, so this goes with what you're saying right now, is that just because you can't label your needs doesn't mean they're unmet. Sometimes I see that as a very healthy sign for a relationship. Like, oh, well, what are my needs? Oh, my needs are this. I need a friendship and a partner. Oh, we could be in a cardboard box and be happy. But you're, so that could just mean that they're there and they're apparent and thriving, which is why you're maybe not as aware of it. But when, okay. when the needs are missing and we feel maybe resentment building up, and this can happen with men as well, but it's yeah. all women talking right now, but, and we feel resentment building up or frustration with our partner, that typically will signal some kind of need not being met, whether it's alone time, appreciation, the love languages, really. I get frustrated that those are such a social media thing because they're so valid and they're so true.
You know, like, we actually yep. tossed around the idea of talking to you about. So yeah. one of the things we wanted to talk to you about was, okay, mm-hmm. relationships and preserving them, because we don't know each other that well. And it's really important yeah. to us. We have a business, we have a podcast, to be really careful and thoughtful about one another. And we do a pretty good job even understanding when maybe we've even crossed like a boundary, and we talk mm-hmm. about a lot of things, and we do a really good job. We try actively, and we do an Enneagram with one another, and we're really careful about thinking about how the other person perceives life and situations, because we know that amazing. We're different in this way. But we were talking about love languages. I would like love you to go into this, because mm-hmm. I'm curious. I couldn't tell you what mine is.
I think there, you couldn't. I bet if I just went down the list, you could. And I will give the disclaimer, I've never read the book. It's pretty straightforward and self-explanatory. Yeah. So there's quality time, acts of service, gifts, words of appreciation, and physical touch.
Can I be five? Yeah, I'm two. No, I mean, so just, like all five. I like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could be. You could be all five. Well, and I always say, I think the gifts get a really bad rap because, oh, yeah. my wife, she's gifts. I'm like, I'm happy if my husband brought me home my favorite coffee. Like that, yeah, that is a gift.
I love a gift.
Bring me a Diet Coke.
Well, yeah. to me, yeah. the bigger message is consideration. Like, I thought enough of you to pick this up. I'm like, oh, I think that Becca would like this.
I thought of you. And to go along, all five really does show, like, I've thought of you, right? I know we're having, I'll never forget one night, this was years ago, and John's like mopping the floors because we were having a dinner party. I'm like, oh, that is actually really sexy right now, because at the end of yeah. the day, I would love to mop those floors, but if I don't get to it, whatever, because everyone's just going to make the floors dirty anyway. So that those do come up a lot when we discuss the needs, like, what do you need from me? But a lot of what I talk about with couples is exactly what might happen with the two of you in your business, is when there is conflict, how are we addressing that? Because we can't assume that any relationship, specifically a marriage, is going to be conflict free. And the way we're taught to engage in conflict is really not helpful or successful in any relationship. We're kind of taught just to go in, make our point so that we can win.
Mm, yeah.
And so the whole time you're arguing your point, the other person's just figuring out how they're going to argue their point. And I can imagine with you guys, you're making some pretty big decisions and you feel pretty passionate about the decisions you're making. And so what you really have to do is you pause and you talk about, why is this important to you? I think we should do this because I think it helps this messaging with our branding. I think that it will help our business grow in this way. What is it? What is the meaning for it behind you versus just, it's because I know it's right and we have to do it. So that's a big part of it. Yeah. And then what happens is that's when, and then you, what I have couples do is, you do that. So let's say, you know, Jenny, you're going first and sharing, this is why this is important to you. Rebecca's taking notes. She's saying back to you, okay, this is what I hear you saying. Am I hearing you right? And you say yes or no. And then if it's no, you share some more. And if it's yes, then you flop. And then Rebecca shares why it's important to her. You take notes. You're reflecting back to her. And then you come together. After that conversation, you may say, well, really, we have the same goal. We have the same reason we want to do this. So let's figure out if we can blend our both worlds. Or it might be like, Jenny, this seems way more important to you. Let's just take your lead on it. And so it doesn't feel like you're always giving in to one another, which can happen a lot in relationships and marriages where you feel like you're always giving in and then resentment builds. But if it's a decision you're making together because you understand each other better, that's the whole goal, is how, let me understand you and why this is important to you, or why that hurt your feelings, or why that made you sad, versus trying to prove that you're not right or wrong.
I was going to say, I think one of the things that we do well, and I don't know if this is healthy or unhealthy, who knows?
Time will tell. We'll see.
Okay. Yes. Here we go. Yay. is we don't, and I learned this probably in my marriage, whether it's positive or negative, but like I'm an 8, right? I can be pretty forward. I can be pretty protective. I can be pretty loud if I need to, you know, basically like support somebody or protect them from whatever. But I don't use my voice as much as I used to in my 30s, and definitely not as much as I used to in my 20s. I just don't care about things I don't care about. So I don't talk about things that don't matter to me, where I used to always feel like everyone had to have an opinion. And I no longer feel that way at all. Like, if it doesn't really matter to me, it could be something as simple as us out to dinner. She's like, which app do you want to get? I'm like, I could eat any of these and be really happy. Like, if there's something that really matters to you on this menu, please get it. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't feel, we do a lot better job respecting those things. And if it actually matters, then, and one of us speaks up, the other one's a little bit quicker to be like, wait a minute. So like right now we're building our website. I don't know that much about our website. It's not my thing. and I love art and pretty things and I love our branding, but like, it's looking good so far. And I just don't feel compelled to have to be like, Jenny, please send me a link. I would like to send you my detailed notes back with all of my opinions, when I fully trust her to nail the shit out of it.
I that's exactly it. It's like, you trust your business partner. You're like, look, this is your wheelhouse. This is where you're going to shine. This is where our business is going to shine through you. And that's cute. It's like, okay, if picking a school that the kids go to is more important to one person and they're doing the research and they're doing the things, it's like, okay, you have our kids' best interest at heart. We're going to go with you. And if it doesn't work at that school, I'm not going to throw it in your face and then say, oh, we should have listened to me. We'll just adjust and shift. Right. So it's trusting and leaning into one another.
Well, I can see how important it is to her. So I'm just like, I can already tell that you, if anything, I have to tell her to like let some things go.
Yes. Jenny's like, I'm exhausted with the website. You can step in if you want.
I think she would tell me if she really wanted to. I think now it's become this like surprise. I don't really know, but
yeah, no, it was more of like a surprise. But I'm also like, I just want to get it done. So I'm like, let's just get it done and we can fix it later.
But like, there are definitely things where you're like, oh,
my mentality, like, you know, a lot.
What? I'm sure it's beautiful. I think you're probably overthinking it.
You think?
Yeah.
Have we met?
There's usually one of those in every relationship too. So that's you, Jenny.
I'm quite the overthinker.
That's my husband too. I'm like, let's just do it. There is a tip that I'll tell people to do in marriages, and again, can go to any relationship. Yeah. Some of my cousins who are much younger than me will listen to my podcast and they're like, this is just helpful with my friendships, is I'll tell people, I'm not like a, journaling is great, right? Like gratitude journaling, all of that. It doesn't work for me. I'm not that type of journaler. I have a journal that John, I think, gave to me in 2020. It is still not full. And there's sometimes a random to-do list in it. But usually what it is like, if I'm feeling a more intense emotion. So that you guys talked about the anger iceberg with Christine, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Oh, I love the anger iceberg is the best. When I show it to clients, they're like, oh, I'm like, you're not angry. You're embarrassed, you're disappointed, you're whatever.
Yeah.
So when I'm feeling one of those anger iceberg emotions, usually it's related to my marriage, because that's not a feeling I want to sit in long with him, or I've already sat in it long enough, I'll journal. And I tell clients to do this all the time. And journaling will do a few things. The first thing it could do is it could show you, like, you're being petty, this doesn't matter, like pick the appetizer. Or it will really lets you get whatever thought you're ruminating on it gets it stuck out of a loop and gets it flowed out more. I'll only do it for like 5 minutes, but then it's, you get it flowed out so that when you go to your partner, if you're going to go to your partner to have the conversation, you have your thoughts sorted out, you have your feelings associated with it, and you're not just shoving the angry hot potato at your partner. Like, I don't feel good. You take it. You're being able to say, I was really disappointed when XYZ happened. I was really, you know, frustrated when this happened. And this is what I wish could have gone different. Or I just need you to take some ownership in it. So those are kind of the two things. I do also say if the petty thing keeps coming up repetitively, that probably does also show that a conversation may need to happen. But sometimes just journaling our thoughts, like you said, Rebecca, not everything that comes to the front of my brain needs to come out of my mouth anymore. I'm the same way. I used to tell my best friend growing up, we went to college together, and I used to say that her and I together were like a cigarette, and that I was just the white part of a cigarette and she was the filter. She was my filter. She could get some of the, like, she'd be like, don't do it, don't say it, but like some bad still came out. And so I used to be like that too, where I'm like, everybody needs to know what I'm thinking all the time. And it doesn't, it kind of puts more turmoil in your life, I felt, for me. And not that that always happened, but being able to sit with your uncomfortable feelings for a little bit and figure out what that looks like. Jenny, it could be just a journal, and then you could do 5 minutes in the journal and then go suppress it wherever else you're suppressing the feelings. I do that. I do that as well. But you have it acknowledged. And then if you need to talk about it, it's there. And so I'll bring the journals to conversations with John sometimes. He actually recently showed up with a journal, and I'm like, excuse me, that's my
bit. Oh my God, that's the second journal now.
He's actually a true journaler, but.
But like, I'm sure that other people want to know this, people who are married or people who are contemplating divorce or separation. Like, what is a quote unquote healthy amount of fighting and arguing? Like, when do you know that it's taken a turn to like Splitsville?
I think that's different for any relationship. Some relationships that are heading to Splitsville don't argue ever. Sometimes couples will come to me and are like, we really don't argue. And my first response to them is, that's probably your problem. Is there needs to be some. Now, if you're just not an arguing couple, like, you don't have to argue every week to say you have arguments. But if you're just not, if you're tucking things aside and not sharing resentments or frustrations, that doesn't mean you're heading for divorce. But what does that do over time if we're just not discussing anything? So it's different for everybody. One of the biggest things I tell people is, the biggest thing with conflict is we feel like at the end of it, we have to have a problem solved. And a lot of times our conflicts, they're not solvable problems. It's like, you hurt my feelings. I don't like the way you parented the kids. I don't want to go to your parents this weekend, right? Or that might be a solvable problem. But sometimes it's just sitting and talking, maybe. So sometimes it's really shifting what the goal of conflict is. So I follow the Gottman method, John and Julie Gottman. They're amazing. They've done so many studies on relationships. It's wild. But a lot of the times, the stuff they talk about, when you listen to it, you're like, oh, that's kind of common sense. Like, that just makes sense. And one of the things that he says is, we just have to shift the goal of conflict, which is to understand each other more, right? Why is this important to you? Why did that upset you? Why did that hurt your feelings? I did not mean to do that, you know? So it's being able just to understand each other more. I do find if you're arguing a lot, you're probably not addressing the bigger topics that need to be addressed. So there's, like, if we're arguing about the laundry and the dishes, we're not arguing about the laundry and dishes. Like, what is really underneath the surface? So,
oh, I love that. Yeah. That's the kind of stuff that pushes me over the edge.
Sometimes we are just arguing about the laundry and dishes, but... That could be a whole, I feel like that on its own is a whole, I'm trying to figure out how John and I can do a podcast episode on that, with like the household management tasks that do still fall very heavy, I find, on the women. Not always, but they do. Yeah. And what does that look like? And what's that load we're carrying and all of that? And
But is it how like this unspoken thing? So like in our house, we joke, like I tell Nate, I'm like, I keep the kid alive. You take care of the dogs. That's yeah. the rule. I'll that do could the be. Inside. You do the grass.
Yeah, like you that. Do that. Like you said, there are some unspoken rules. And I have a lot of conversations with people about like, hey, the human body, women and men, I believe we are truly wired for different things.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean I can't do the grass or, well, we have yard people that come and do the grass because who really wants to do that in July? But
the tech, I mean,
yeah, there you go. Yeah, I do send the Venmo. I send that. And so I do think that there's some level of acceptance of like, if the kids are sick, I want to stay home because I'm mom and I want to nurture them and I want to take care of them. And so I do think there's some level of, we don't want to negate like what we are as women and what we are as men. Now that doesn't mean we can't all do the laundry too. So it's a bigger topic for sure.
See, we agreed a long time ago that so laundry is like a non-negotiable. Like I don't want him touching my stuff and I don't want to touch
your
stuff.
There are so you do your own laundry.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't want you in my basket. I want you gonna dry stuff that I don't want you to dry and just I'll do me and the kids' laundry. You do your own. So that's our
It cracks me up. Like so when we get to household management conversations in sessions, 95% of the time it's, well, you won't even let me help with the laundry. And it's like, well, yeah, because you dry everything, but there's so much more things you can do. So I tell people, get the laundry sorter. You put the ones that can't go in the dryer in one, and then it's good.
I don't know if I could trust it.
Don't trust.
There's probably some control issues there.
That's all right. But if you own it, then it's like,
oh, I own it for sure.
Yeah. You're like, I'm going to do the laundry. I promise I won't get mad at you about it.
Well, that's the thing, right? You can't then take that resentment if you have to have that ownership of like, okay, well, I totally understand that. That was my big thing when I started therapy was I didn't want to bring resentment into a place where I was already concerned. But I actually never had resentment about the dishes or the laundry. Mm. What I more had was like, I felt like I wasn't getting other needs met. And so that was like, I was like, I couldn't really care less about the laundry. First of all, I'm totally OCD. I am bananas about it. So I'm like, I know that this is a driving factor for me and my own mental health. I like everything clean. I like everything in its place. And some of that's what we talked about with Christina with this like check marks mentality of like not being able to relax. But I also know that if there's chaos around me, I feel chaotic and I don't thrive in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
So I completely own all of that. I don't think I ever once made a fuss about.
But it was your the emotional side.
Yes. And like the support side was where I just didn't feel like we could get there. And I felt like that was a lot bigger than laundry.
Yes. And that is a lot of times the shift we make. And that's why sometimes I get concerned, you know, I'm like, I want to do this episode on household management tasks, but a lot of times it is so much deeper. It's that emotional, what does it mean to be emotionally connected to your partner? And that is so different for men and women from person to person. And it's tough. It's tough to figure it out. And that's where, you know, Jenny, some of it comes in is like, okay, well, what do I need to feel emotionally connected to somebody?
I was going to say, are there fairly common like female needs and male needs as far as what it looks like for connection? Obviously, men are more physical in some ways.
Yes. Well, so one of the things that Gottman found in some of the studies that he did is that, which I just think is a sick, sick joke, is that for men to feel emotionally connected, that typically happens through like sexual intimacy. But for women, their emotional connection needs to be met to want to engage in sex. So it's like... And so it's like this very vicious cycle. And then it can be hard for men because they're like, okay, well, I made the dinner plans and I made the this and I made the that. And sometimes
then I'm like, you're doing it because you want to get laid.
Yes. Yes. So I have started coaching some couples. I'm like, give your wife a hug and tell them that's all you want is a hug. Have your weekly date nights. And if it ends in sex, beautiful. And if it doesn't, go to bed without huffing and puffing, right? Like, we have to have some of these moments of emotional intimacy, whatever that looks like for different people, where then the physical can come and it doesn't feel so transactional.
Is that why I'm so obsessed with my girlfriends though right now, is because I get so much more emotional intimacy from them, because mm-hmm. like, we joke about this Hinge thing, but, and I actually had a man on my DMs the other day ask about how I have so many girlfriends. And I was like, I don't think you understand how important they are to me. And I don't even think that's right now, but like, even in sports growing up, like, the emotional intimacy that I can get from my girlfriends, I just mm-hmm. don't find a man giving to me.
Yeah. They are out there.
Okay.
I do want to promise that. Good they news. Are out there. And sometimes it's their own growth. So I always say in marriage counseling, like, we're spending our lives growing, right? So you're growing as an individual, your partner's growing as an individual, and hopefully you're doing that alongside each other, supporting yeah. each other in that, right? And so what it looks like with a husband may not look like what it looks like with a girlfriend, but that emotional right. connection can be there. And I do think some men probably need, I'll be curious to see what, you know, the generations we're raising are going to be like, and how the men are they going to be a little bit more emotionally in tune, because it's allowed a little bit more right yeah. now. Mm-hmm. And so I think, and I when I see a lot of men be open and vulnerable in my office, one, it's like the most touching thing I can see between a couple, but I just see a little bit of like lightness from them as well. So it can happen. Some of them do have it. Not some, I shouldn't say like that. They all have the capability, but they do exist.
No, and I love that. Like, and I believe, and I know that I couldn't get the same kind of emotional connectivity that I could with a man from my girlfriends, but mm-hmm. I certainly know that I can go with them and receive some part of that connectivity that maybe I was missing or am. I mean, obviously, like, I come home to myself at night, so I don't yeah. get into bed. I don't divulge my day, but I wasn't doing that before either. And right. it's not right. It wasn't because that wasn't what I wanted. It wasn't something I was doing. And so now I'm like, okay, in some ways it makes me want it even more. But then in other ways, I'm like, okay, well then I'm going to go out to dinner with Sandra. Or I'm going to go out to dinner with Jenny, and I'm just going to do the thing where we like unpack a million things, and I can still have that bond. It's not the same, but yep. it does fill some need that I have to be connected.
I think when you find it, you're going to be like, oh, there it is. There was somebody that I know that went through a pretty tough divorce. And then through social media, I saw that she was like away with somebody. And I'm like, I'm so happy, because she did talk to me beforehand. She was more of an acquaintance and was kind of just asking my opinion on some things when they were still trying to work it out. And she's been very open on social media about sorting through, kind of like you are. Like, I'll give you a quick glimpse that I'm sorting through this. And yes. I messaged her. I said, I'm so happy for you. She said, I never understood what people meant when they said they married their best friend. And she, I don't know. I get so teary eyed
yeah,
sometimes.
No, that's amazing. Like,
and she was like, I can tell you do. I love it. I think when you do find it, one of the things I love about you is you're not just like down on all men because
I love men.
It's like they're out there and they're capable, and the right match is there for everybody, and the right emotional intimacy can be there for everybody. And even when the emotional intimacy can be good in a relationship, it's not always great, right? Like, there's life, there's work, there's kids, there's all those things. But when you find it, you're going to be like, ah, it does exist. I didn't even know this was missing from my life.
Yeah. No, I I'm not down on my ex-husband, and I'm definitely yeah. not down on men. I just ultimately, at the end of the day, like, I wanted us to be able to be friends, because we started as friends.
Yeah.
And then we were more intimate. And then, you know, I was young and he was young. And then now we've both grown and we've had kids and we've moved. Yeah. So we've had yeah. all these really big life things. I don't blame him for sure. I just had to say, like, I don't think we want to do this for 5 more years or 10 more years. And when we're 80, I don't want to have the same conversation anymore. So let's protect our children and our friendship, and let's hit pause and be done. And then we still now, like, certainly there are little things, right? We know how to push each other's buttons. But I will say I try very hard not to, because I'm not interested in continuing to play the game that we played. I would much rather be friends, you know, share the cost of gymnastics, go back and forth over the cool things that they're doing at school, and like have them. I mean, we went out to dinner, the four of us, the other day.
I love that. I love that. Like, I really, because your focus has shifted now. We don't have this marriage to save now. We have these two amazing girls to raise. And that's what it is. It doesn't have to be about our egos or whatever. Yes. It's, we have these wonderful kids to raise.
Yep. And that, and I just want it to be that simple. I think our families are going to have a harder time figuring that out. But I lately I've just been like, I can't help you. I am telling you what is happening, and you have got to talk to somebody else. Poor Christina, or whoever is Matt, you know, Matt's family is using, but I'm like, I am working so hard to make this important, and both of us are.
Yeah.
And the girls understand it, and we're very careful about how we speak about each other and like how we present each other, even at school functions. I mean, we have friends who still have no idea. I had somebody at the art show like, how come I never see you anymore in Pembroke? I'm like, wait, what?
You're like, I'm not there. Friend.
I was like, she's like, wait, what?
And she just like, assumed you got a new car. She's like,
right.
That is so, but it, and it's, I love that you're like, this is just the, this is just the stage we're in and where we shifted things, and it's going to look different, and I'll, you'll get your Nate one day. Right.
Well, and somebody said like, you need to picture the finish line and then you need to work backwards. And so I was like, we're going to go to our kids' weddings. We're going to go to their graduations. Yes. We're going to be at all of these things. What is the point of it feeling like poison for everyone? And I understand it's confusing for people who are used to a traditional divorce, but it's just unnecessary roughness when we're going to all come out of the laundry at the same time anyways.
Well, and here's, they can all be confused, but your girls are going to feel so supported, and their wedding day gets to be about them and not where mom and dad are sitting at a table, and their graduation day gets to be about them. I've seen both sides of the coins, because I do also work with, I started my career working with children. That's how I ended up in marriage. I started my career working with children, worked in group homes, residential facilities, foster care. I was working full time when I had Layla. When I went to go have Maxwell, I went, daycare is expensive. So I stayed home with the goal that then I would start my private practice. So I went to go work with children because that's what I did. And then I realized, well, I really want to work with the parents, because they can support the children best. And I realized their marriages need help. And that was the whole kind of trajectory of it all. But I work with some teenagers because they're my babies, and I love having a few of them still on my caseload. And I've seen the world of like the having to move the parents like chess pieces, and then just being able to show up to therapy with both parents and have it be about the kid and not the parents' arguments. And so that's, it's just all the different maneuvering of relationships, isn't it?
Yeah, you're doing really so good, Rebecca. I'm so proud of you. As a child of divorce, like, I wish that my family would have handled things like you've handled
well, it's not perfect, but I really am. I try to be so thoughtful, and if the only person that leaves this with any trauma is me, perfect.
We're good.
I feel like I got big enough shoulders. Like, I got this.
Spoken like a true mom, right?
Yeah, I'll take it. Okay, well, I'm going to say this was so much fun.
Oh, I love this.
I think we're going to have you back.
Well, I would love that.
This was so insightful. I cannot wait to see what everyone says. We will be sharing all the feedback.
Oh, that'll be so exciting. I love it.
And just real quick, so your podcast is called Raising Marriage Podcast.
Yes, yes.
And you're on all the podcast platforms.
Well, I'm just Spotify and Apple. What are the, I probably need to ask you guys what, okay, yes. No.
Okay. We'll share links to those as well in our social media.
Thank you. And this has been fun. I said, I did a little Insta story before, and I have been having conversations with you guys in my head, listening to all your episodes. So I'm like, oh, I get to join a real one. This is so exciting. so thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much.
This was amazing. You're the best. We are definitely having you back. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.